Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery. I'm your host, Jane Marquis ND, and today we have a very special guest, Allison Smith, who will help us navigate the path from feeling utterly stuck and overwhelmed to finding clarity and purpose. Allison's unique perspective, which uses nature as a metaphor for mastering life's challenges, is both enlightening and transformative. Allison is author of the book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, Landscaping Your Life. So join us as we learn to harness the power of inner knowing and allow our paths to unfold in this episode of Meltdown to Mastery. Stay tuned for an inspiring conversation that will guide you toward your own path of mastery. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you, Jane. Delighted to be here.
Yes, so excited. So we're going to talk about the state that we're in often, which is stuck. And you have a great metaphor that you use to help people.
Yeah, I suppose the reason that I use that saying is the fact that here in the UK, we use the phrase, can't see the wood for the trees. I think in the States and Canada, it would be can't see the woods for the trees for it to be accurate in terms of the same. And so in some countries, they say can't see the forest for the trees. And the reason I use that is that I realize that when we're stuck, it's as if there's a part of us that sort of gives us a clue where we might find solutions and options that perhaps are hiding from us. Because we use idioms such as can't see the wood for the trees, stuck in a rut, going round in circles, treading water, up a creek without a paddle. We use all of these idioms to describe being stuck. And the thing is that quite often we'd say, I'm stuck in a rut, and we're using it to say, I'm stuck, therefore there are no solutions, therefore I don't know what to do. And I come up and say, ha-ha, the clue is in your language. So if you're using the phrase or align with the phrase, can't see the wood for the trees, stuck in a rut, going round in circles, then let's send logic on a coffee break and let's stick with the metaphor. Let's get in touch with our unconscious, subconscious, inner wisdom, whatever words we want to call that part of us that's sort of inside that does know what to do. And that's how we get at it, really, is via the metaphor. So I would say, if you can't see the wood for the trees, let's go and have a walk in some woods and let's explore what we would do in those woods and find some solutions metaphorically that we can then apply to the real life situation later.
Right. So it's a feeling of overwhelm because the forest is just so big and then you can't even see the next step.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, of course, some cultures would say can't see the forest for the trees. And the thing is that a forest, in my opinion, is too big to see. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I've had people where they realize you're trying to see something that is unseeable because a forest is far too big to see in one go. So what would you do if you were trying to do something that is far too big? It's like, okay, I just need to focus on the first step. I need to focus, you know, what is it that I now need to focus my attention on rather than noticing how big all of these trees are and I can't possibly see them all in one go.
Right. So you say it's in the language that we use. Tell us about that.
It's just the fact that we use these idioms and we use the idioms to describe being stuck. And it's as if we think that therefore means there aren't any solutions. And yet if we mine the metaphor, so if we can't see the wood for the trees, then if what would we do in a real wood? Well, if we were in a real wood, we might follow the path out. We might need a map. Or we might cut some of the trees down. Or so what we can do when we're sort of there metaphorically imagining being in the wood, not being able to see it for all the trees, we can come up with, I mean, an infinite number of solutions, which then enable us to go, oh, I see. I was in overwhelm because I was trying to do all of this, but yeah, I just need a map. Oh, and what does a map look like? Oh, I just need to sit down. I need to think about where I want to get to. Because sometimes when we can't see the wood for the trees, what I found quite often, there are some sort of common themes when people can't see the wood for the trees or in this overwhelm, is one, that metaphorically it's as if they're getting distracted by the trees and they don't even want to be in the wood. It's like, I'll say to them, we'll be in the wood and we're wandering around and I'll go, where do you want to get to? And they'll go, oh, the other side of the wood. Well, why are you worrying about the wood? And so quite often it's like we allow ourselves to be distracted by the wood or by other things, rather than go, no, you know what? What I want to do is I want that new job and I'm getting allowing myself to get distracted by all these other things. And so, no, I just want that job. So I'm just going to go and do what I need to do to get a new job. I'll fill in a, you know, update your CV or whatever. So sometimes it's distractions. Sometimes there's we'd say it's sort of like being a bit like a magpie, seeing shiny things and thinking, oh, that's better, and worrying whether or not we're making the right decision. I wrote a poem that sort of suggested that half a path will get you nowhere. So we have to commit to the whole path and then make a decision when we get to the next crossroads, not keep doing half a path and then turning around for fear of making the wrong decision and then going back to where we started, because that's also a problem. So I think it's just noticing our language and then hijacking it, I suppose, to find solutions.
Yeah, I love the metaphor. You know, you reminded me of a time I got lost in the woods, and there's a complete, you feel panicky and overwhelmed. Yeah. You don't know what direction to go in. My dog was missing and I ran into the woods near dark, just calling her name and running without noticing where I was even going.
Oh no!
And then it started to get dark and I had no idea where I was. Like, if people can think about a time when this has happened to them and how you get out of the situation is
gorgeous,
right? You have to calm down. Think about where you are, look at any clue and know what the next step is. And for me, it was finding a creek that I recognized and knew it was like near my home in what direction. And then to know that your plan is to get home, right? You just know and you can go step by step to do it.
Yeah, lovely. And I think the other thing is that, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years and every time, so you've just given a beautiful example. I've never heard that example before. And that's why I still find it really exciting, because everybody listening will have their own story or their own relationship with a wood, and also then be able to give themselves insight that say, oh my God, yeah, I just need that. You know, every time I go to this, my favorite wood, I always make sure I go to the crossroads where there's signs up and I always follow the signs. And therefore it's just about, well, okay, so what do the signs look like in this particular situation that you're struggling with? So I think, and especially if we go and take the problem out into the wood, we will embody and will therefore run patterns. So it might be that you do get lost or you do get panicky, and it's just noticing, oh, this is how I'm feeling in that situation. Okay, what do I need to do in the wood? And therefore, how can I then replicate that back in the real life situation? Because we will undoubtedly, somebody the other week said, oh, I'm at a crossroads. And we were walking around the botanical gardens. And so at every crossroads, I sort of said, so let's, you know, which direction do you want to go? And every single crossroads we came to, they said they wanted to go the path that didn't have the signs on it. It's as if there was three choices that had signposts that said, this is where this will take you. And they always wanted to go on the path that didn't have a sign. But for them, they were trying to get insight about what sort of job they wanted to do. And therefore, they really understood that, oh, that's why I'm resisting all these jobs people are offering me, is their jobs where the signposts are clear, where somebody's already gone and done it before. The job I want is where I'm doing the sort of leading. I'm making the path. I'm putting the signs up for other people to follow. And so it was a huge insight for them about the reason that they were struggling to find a job was they were looking in the wrong place for the job.
Oh, how interesting. And many of us do want to forge our own path or feel we have, you know, a unique offering for the world. And to follow that is very important, but it can be scary because there's no signpost.
There's no signpost. But what I got the other week, and again, this is one of those, go out into nature, find somewhere that hasn't got a path and notice what you notice, because invariably, I was out in these woods and I turned and looked at this undergrowth in front of me and just thought, well, I don't want to follow a path. I know I want to forge my own path, but I would not try and go through there. It's like I'd need, you know, some tools to get through there. I could imagine hurting myself and falling over because I couldn't see the ground. So I think there's something quite insightful if somebody gets that sense that you've just described of I want to make my own path, to go out into nature and to come up with the characteristics of what you do want, though, because quite often you might want solid ground or you might want, I suppose what I'm envisaging is if you're in a field and there's no path across the field, that's really quite easy to be able to go in one of 360 degrees of choice, as I call it. But right, being in a field with 360 degrees worth of choice is very different than being in a wood that's got lots of undergrowth where you couldn't physically get through, you know, the tangle and all of the shrubbery. And therefore, I think what it would enable us to do is to go, okay, so metaphorically, what is me making my own path look like? Do I want a field? Am I really happy to get the, you know, implements out and start cutting things back? And that would be great. Some people would love that. But some people might be able to go, oh, now I want something in the middle. I just want more choice. I don't want one set path that is concreted. I just want a path that other people might have gone, or perhaps an animal have gone, because it makes sense, because that's how you get from A to B. And I think we can just get more insight about our own preferences, our own ways of thinking, what keeps us safe, what keeps us motivated, what keeps us focused, to be able to go, well, okay, that's what I need metaphorically, in a, you know, if I'm out in nature, what does that then look like in a job or working for myself? And we might then go, oh, I do need a bit more security than I thought. Or, oh, yeah, I'm trying to do something that's really out there. And it's no wonder I'm scared because I don't really want to do that.
Right. So you're saying it's important to become clear of the path as well, like add the details in so that.
Yes. I mean, the interesting thing is that so far, I suppose I've assumed that we're going out in nature. There is another option, and in the book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, then I do also encourage you to do some drawing. So you could actually say, I'm not going out into nature. I'm going to draw what I want my landscape to look like. So where are the paths? You know, what sort of paths are they? And to sort of draw your own landscape. And sometimes you might be able to draw your vision landscape and go, oh, my God, that is exactly what I want my job to look like, or my work to look like, or my life to look like, and then use that as a vision. So other times you might draw the landscape of where you are currently and then envisage or draw or make changes to the drawing in order to come out of that drawing to go, yeah, I'm in the woods. I want to be at the top of a hill, looking down, you know, at a valley, down a valley. I want the sun rising. And all we're trying to do is shift our mindset from one that's stuck. Because the only reason I do this is that the language we're using is saying, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. And as you said, overwhelmed, lost. There's all sorts of, you know, words that we can use to describe that. But invariably, all of that mindset, all of those words, all of those feelings are prohibiting us from seeing the situation differently and are stopping us seeing options. And I say they're currently hidden from view. So all the techniques, tools and techniques in my book, in the podcast, all they do is enable us to see the situation from a different perspective and to see what is currently hidden, because there are always more options than we understand. And this is just one way of doing it. And I just say, we send logic on a coffee break. We invite logic back later, but we just say, logic, please, leave me for 30 minutes while I explore it metaphorically. I'm going to have a great time being creative, talking to my inner wisdom, and I'm just going to understand what may be in this inner landscape for me to then go, oh, that's the bit I'm missing. I didn't realize that I needed to turn around, or I didn't realize that I'm focusing on that one tree in front of me rather than I just want to be out of the wood. And actually, there's a path there, and I know I just need to get out of the wood. And once I'm out of the wood, I'm going to feel better. Because as you said, when you were scared, it was dark, you were hunting for your dog, you just needed to find one thing that would calm you down, which was that creek. And therefore, sometimes as soon as we found that, this is my tree, as long as my tree's in my landscape, that calms me down. As soon as you calm down, then, your brain opens itself up. You're able to see solutions that previously, because you were overwhelmed, you couldn't see.
Right. And often they can be right in front of us.
Yeah. I did a podcast the other week. I mean, it sounds silly now, but I was looking sort of a 180 degree view in front of me. And so I'm there going, what part of this landscape reflects, my current situation? How might I be able to get insight from that to solve the problem? And then I had this sort of, it felt like I'd got a metaphorical tap on the shoulder. And I turned round and realized there was another 180 degrees of view that I had been excluding because it was behind me. So in that instance, the answer was behind me, because I think sometimes if we're lost, it's as if we don't want to go backwards and we try and forge forwards. And yet quite often we may find, actually, if I just go back a little bit, there's a path there on the left-hand side that, because I was looking to the right, I didn't notice it.
Yes. One of my favorite games as a kid was Snakes and Ladders. And often, how you have to sometimes slide backwards in order to find this huge ladder that goes upwards. Yeah. So it's like that. Sometimes you have to just follow the path. And even if it feels like it's going backwards, if it feels right to try.
Oh, absolutely. I know I keep saying it, but in one of the, I'd written a poem. And one of the poems, Paths and Destinations poem, and one of the stanzas said, following the path until the next crossroads and then making a decision when you get to the crossroads. So it's like not worrying about what the decision is going to be till you get to the crossroads. And so I'm embodying this. It's like I'm going out for a walk and I'm saying, right, I am going to walk along this path until I get to the first crossroads. Well, now, this was not a forest. It wasn't a huge wood. So I absolutely can guarantee that the crossroads was going to be found within the next 5 or so minutes. However, I am embodying how I am in life. And therefore, within a minute, I am going, I haven't got to the crossroads next. I think I perhaps turned around. And I was getting so impatient and hating every step I was making because, well, I don't know where this crossroads is. I want to know where I'm going. And so it brought up for me the fact that I'm not very good at just waiting and just seeing and trusting that something's going to happen. And I forced myself to go to the crossroads. But it was just brilliant to see how I am in life reflected in just this 5-minute little walk where I'm going, you've got to go to that crossroads. That is what the poem says. That is what you've got to do. That's what you're telling the people on the podcast episode you're going to do. So do it. But, it was horrible. I mean, it really did bring up every, I want to go in this direction. Or no, it's wrong. Can't I go back to where I started?
Yes. I mean, that's human nature, isn't it? for us to want to know that where we're going exactly and how it's going to turn out, and then we feel safe. But that's not life, is it? It just isn't. And that's probably why we're here, to manifest what you're talking about, or to master what you're talking about. And another thing I love to use that's like nature and what you're talking about is, I feel that relationships or even life is like a river, you know, where you sometimes you can see long stretches of where you're going and know exactly. And then other times you're in these tight turns and you can't tell where the next turn is, and you've got to really pay attention in order to, you know, to navigate. And other times it's like rapids, and sometimes it's like slow and you really have to paddle to get somewhere. But yeah, you don't always know where you're going, and you have to learn how to tune into your inner knowing.
The interesting thing about river, of course, is the fact that quite often we get this belief that we have to go, you know, go against the flow. Mm. But if we're on a river, the idea is actually to follow the flow. So, you know, so that also comes up with, you know, resistances or not resistances. And one of the things I say is, what worked as a stream doesn't as a river, and what worked as a river doesn't as an ocean. So there is something about acknowledging that, where are we in the journey? Are we trying to apply rules and ways of seeing the world that worked as a stream, but forgetting that we've now become the river or are on the river, and therefore there are different ways that the world works that we need to be aware of.
Right. So it's a feeling of also going with the flow. You know, sometimes you feel that you're flowing in the wrong direction, or that can lead you in a panic too, but trusting that the next fork will appear and you'll know which way to go.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, in my book, the sort of antidote to being stuck is asking, will this decision I'm making, if I decide to do A or B, does A or B get me to the ocean? Now, that sort of presupposes we are the water. So when we're not on a boat, we are the water. So if we are the water, water will flow to the ocean. And therefore, if we set that up within us, then quite often we're able to sort of connect in with our unconscious to go, oh, that's interesting. That decision doesn't feel like it gets me to the ocean. That does. And then obviously use that as a springboard, I suppose, to explore. So does that make sense then? Invite logic back from its coffee break to say, okay, so if I was to do this, because this is what would be headed to the ocean, does that then make, can I then come up with all the reasons from a sense-making point of view and a logical point of view about why that might be the case?
Right. Beautiful. So do you, when you're helping people, is there like a starting point that you teach them? Is it to go for a walk and realize that life is very similar to the choices we make when we're doing that kind of exploration?
Yeah, I think it all depends. I mean, some people might sort of hand to me on a plate a particular phrase, like the person who said they were at a crossroads or turning a corner, and therefore I would say let's go and, you know, go to a crossroads and let's just explore crossroads, or let's go and turn a corner. But absolutely, that the one that I would come back to would be going on a landscaping your life walk. So I've done it virtually. So I've done it with somebody in LA the other week, or in the hills outside of LA, and I've done it Florida as well, where, you know, we've turned off the video, so I can't see them, but they're walking around in the landscape and I'm just asking them questions of the landscape, and they're noticing what they notice about the landscape, and I might be inviting them to stop in the landscape. And it's just, they're taking the problem on a walk, but they're not getting caught up in the drama. The reason I say let's send logic on a coffee break is we're sending logic and the story we're telling about the problem and all of the data and the facts and the figures and, you know, all of the angst about, well, that person said that and that therefore means this. That's all of what's going on a coffee break. And all we're doing is having a walk around nature, looking at patterns and going, oh, paths, all right, yeah, oh, sunsets, winter, we might notice, oh, actually, this is different at a different time of year or whatever. So for me, I suppose the fallback would always be go for a walk in nature and notice what you notice, because you will notice patterns. Things will happen. It's like, oh, that's never happened on a walk before. Yeah, because it's like you've set your unconscious to notice things in relation to that problem. You're not going just for a walk. You're taking the patterns of that problem for a walk, and therefore you will notice things that link in with that pattern.
Right. Can you give us an example maybe of yourself where you felt very stuck and then something happened in this way that really helped you move forward?
Well, actually, I'll give you an example of somebody who rang me and said, who was really in overwhelm. They'd got a deadline in 5 hours' time. And they said, you know, oh, help, help. You know, I don't know what to do. I've got this deadline. I've got to do all this stuff by then. And I'm in overwhelm and panicky. And I said, okay, so which of these sayings most describes how you're feeling? And they said, oh, I can't see the wood for the trees. So all we did was discuss, well, it sounds like you're making it out to be a forest. The saying isn't about can't see the forest for the trees. And in her head, what happened is we talked about seeing the wood for the trees rather than the forest for the trees, is suddenly in her head, she'd moved from having, but I know that what happened is that as I questioned her, she changed the trees in her mind to be beech trees. And just by changing the trees in her vision, in her mind, to beech trees, she calmed down. It was as if the key was changing her vision of this wood to beech trees. And it just took all of the angst, all of the frustration, all of the overwhelm out. And she literally said to me, oh my God, I know what to do. That feels better, right? And she hung the phone up on me because she still had the deadline.
Right. She still had lots to do.
She still had lots to do. But the difference was when she rang, she had no idea what to do. And she was ringing me because she knows I can ask questions to help her. Once she'd answered the questions, she felt better. So somebody described the book as a first aid kit for the mind, because again, they'd come to it, you know, overwhelmed because they were doing their exams. So they were getting themselves really worked up about, oh, I've got to revise, the exams are coming up. And so they just weren't able to sit and focus and revise because they were worrying about what was coming. Now, what she did was just read one chapter and it just took the overwhelm away. But it comes back to the what's the saying. So if the saying is going round in circles, then draw the circles and make changes to the circles, because it's the quickest. I mean, literally, if you're going around in circles, it's a 5-minute technique, and it will just move you from overwhelm really quickly, because your brain is going, I'm going around in circles, and all it can imagine is the circling. So if you bring that circling out onto a piece of paper with a pen and you draw the circles and you're doing, you know, get one direction, another direction, quicker, slower, bigger, smaller, going around in triangles, squares, rectangles, all you're doing is saying to your brain, I no longer wish to go around in circles. Here's a different way of looking at it. And at some point, really quickly within those few minutes that you're making those changes, one of those changes will stop you in your tracks to you go, oh, I see. And it's just, yeah, it's just amazing to see what that is, because for everybody it's different. So for some people, they might need to change the color of the drawing so that suddenly they need to draw in blue circles, not red circles or whatever.
Yeah. It's just bringing to the conscious mind the state that the subconscious is in. And it sometimes feels like paralysis because we don't know how to move forward at all. We're going in circles. Or you can go throughout the day feeling extremely anxious and not really getting anywhere, which is not good for our, you know, blood pressure and our body. And, you know, I used to think I was the only one that did this, because you could go through a day very anxious and you know that you have to get something big done, but you've got all these other little things to do as well. And it just leaves your mind in a very frazzled state. And so you never actually get the big thing done. But I've learned to say to myself, right, what I'm going to do is A, B, C, then I'm going to do D, then E, and then I'll get to F. And if I do that, it's like I'm creating this path, kind of like metaphorically. I know I'm going to do this, then that, then this, and then I calm down and can get it all done.
Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, but it's like through talking to someone like you that clarifies how important it is to do this so that we can achieve what we need to or manifest what we need to in life.
Yeah, and I think the clue is watching out in our language, because we will in how we describe the current situation, we will be using a metaphor. And therefore it's okay, let's just stop there. Let's explore the metaphor, because you're already relating to that situation as if it's like that circle, or if it's like that rut, or whatever the uphill struggle or whatever. And therefore it's okay, so let's just mine that beautiful metaphor for potential ways of looking at the situation differently. Because you're right, it's in the exploration of it that we calm down, because we move from not knowing what to do, believing there are no solutions, to going, well, there are an infinite number of solutions. I just need to decide which of them to do, which feels much more resourceful than there isn't anything I can do.
Right. And sometimes you have to get through A, B, C to even know what you're going to do at D, right? Like you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Which is where that get to the first crossroads, because you don't, if you're on a path, get to the first crossroads, because you don't need to make a decision until you get to the crossroads. So let's do one step at a time, get to the crossroads, and then you've got a decision to make. But who knows what's going to happen between now and then, because you may have bumped into somebody, the weather might be different. When you get to the crossroads, it might be the outlook might be completely different. The fact that that crossroads is at the top of a hill and you can see everywhere around. Mm. So we try to make decisions before we've even seen what the landscape looks like.
Mm-hmm. And ruminate and worry.
Yeah.
That we don't know what to do.
No, but we haven't realized that actually when we get to the crossroads, there is that hill, there is 360 degrees worth of visibility from that hill. And we can make a decision then about, oh, actually, I wanted to go to the sea, or, oh, no, I want to go to that town over there, or, oh, that valley looks nice there. But we were trying to make a decision when we didn't even know a valley was an option that was available to us.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I love this. So good. Any other beautiful tips?
Well, the one that I is one of my favorites, and it's a YouTube video, but it's also a podcast episode, and that's to put the sticks down we beat ourselves up with. So most people, I'm assuming, can relate to the fact that they beat themselves up. And we would say beat ourselves up with a stick. I originally said, well, go and pick up the sticks. So, you know, go out into a wood, pick the sticks up, and then throw them away. And that will work. However, when I was doing that for the podcast episode, I was at the top of a hill and I thought, well, there aren't any trees at the top of this hill. There aren't any sticks to pick up. But I bet you if I wanted to beat myself up, I would have some sticks, because I must go and pick up sticks while I'm in a wood, put them in a bag, so that I've got them at any point in the future, should I wish to beat myself up. And so there was a real laughter involved about when we're beating ourselves up. It isn't that we're beating ourselves up in the moment and telling ourselves, oh, we shouldn't do this, or, you know, we actually pre sort of determined we were going to beat ourselves up well in advance.
Right.
It's like we've already got all of those excuses, all the things that we think we don't do very well. And it's like we've got them in a bag, and therefore we'll do something. And then we'll go, oh, well, we knew it wouldn't work, because, and we'll beat ourselves up. So the process there is realize the futility of picking sticks up ahead of time because we know we're going to beat ourselves up. What? And to then throw the sticks away. And if you do that, it just brings into your consciousness and awareness next time you start to sort of have a go at yourself and beat yourself up for something to go, oh, hang on a minute. This is something I decided, you know, 3 months ago I was going to beat myself up about. Well, that's not what.
Right? I love this because often we'll end up in a situation where we're like, oh, if you had only done this, you wouldn't be in this situation and you're beating yourself up.
Yeah.
Instead of dropping the sticks and going, okay, which way do I go now? Yeah. And just letting go and flowing, right?
Yeah. I think the thing when I did it was I was amazed that I wanted little sticks, I wanted big sticks, I wanted thick sticks, I wanted thin sticks. It's like, oh no, it wasn't just one sort of stick. It was like lots of different sticks because at any point in time, you know, this stick might not be the right stick to beat myself up with. And I think when you start being that absurd about it, you realize the absurdity of how we, you know, we're hard on ourselves, really. And it just sort of takes the pressure off a little to go, what? That's just a game I'm playing. I'm going to put those sticks, I'm going to light a fire with the sticks. I'm going to do something more resourceful with the sticks and actually use them to beat myself up.
Right. I love that. Because they can be quite the burden too. They can be heavy carrying all those sticks.
I was talking to somebody last week and they went, oh my God, my bag is huge with all of these sticks in it. And I went, and so how much of your energy, you know, is being used in gathering those sticks, keeping those sticks, remembering to take them out with you every day? So imagine how much more energy you have. Caroline Mace talks about we have 100, you know, watts of energy available to us every day. But so much of them is actually in the past or in the future rather than going, you know what, I'm going to use those 100 watts to be who I am today, not worry about tomorrow or beat myself up because of, you know, something from the past.
Yeah, so really learning to live in the moment.
Yeah, well, easier said than done, but yeah.
It is. But just to remind ourselves, it's part of mastery as well.
Yes, definitely.
Any other tips? Let people know how they could get in touch with you or find your book if they wanted to, if they resonated and wanted to learn more.
No, I think you've had me tips in terms of put the sticks down, use Nate, watch your language in terms of really be clear about, oh yeah, I've used that word. You know, don't get me on things like dead end. It's like, so yeah, watch your language. In terms of finding me then, if you do Landscaping Your Life, the book, although it's called Can't See the Wood for the Trees, the tagline is Landscaping Your Life to Get Back on Track. And therefore you'll find it on Amazon and other places using Landscaping Your Life. Landscaping Your Life, you'll find me on LinkedIn. You'll find me on TikTok now. Landscaping Your Life will find me in all the various different social media.
Perfect. I'll put that in the show notes. Thank you so much, Alison.
Thank you, Jane. It's been great.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There's one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.